Welcome back to Stack the Pads, a.k.a. your Women's Ice Hockey Division I, Robert Morris, University Hockey Podcast. A little throwback song there from the days of Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
It was also, I'm pretty sure, Chell Legacy. It's
what? That was the lobby music from Black Ops 2.
I thought you were playing In the End.
Oh, no.
That's what I heard before you. Yeah, I don't have headphones on.
That was on NHL 14. Oh. Yeah.
Great song.
Yeah. Yeah, good song. So the streak is over. We've had four guests here the past couple weeks, and we don't have one today. So
yeah, they changed around their schedule a little bit.
Yeah, it's completely fine. But, yeah, we had Reagan Kirk, then Michaela Boyle, and then, of course, J.C. Gebhard, and then we just had Larry Snyder last week. So thank all of those people for coming in and sharing their thoughts with us.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to get some on, but I don't know with how the schedule is now. Maybe.
Yeah, and speaking of the schedule, things are starting to wrap up here on the regular season, if you will. Hopefully the Colonials will be able to carry things into the playoffs and extend their season, of course. But what is it? It's just this weekend and then next weekend CHA tournament? Or next weekend?
Next, because they have...
They have RIT this weekend.
RIT, and then I believe they end the season against Cuse.
Yeah, okay. And probably.
And then they go into
how
CHA.
It was. That was how it was last year, essentially, where they had the potential to clinch a CHA title. But currently, they're in second as of right now in the CHA. As we look back on the games from last week, Mercyhurst, huge series. This one was away. Last series against Mercyhurst was a teddy bear toss, and that was a split. And this one was as well. Mercyhurst.
Well, game one.
They came out in both games and took charge. And it, honestly, if you look at the play-by-play, like we weren't at these games, but it looks like Mercyhurst really did come out in every period because they scored early in just about every period of the six periods this weekend. But game one was a 5-3 loss. There was an empty net goal, so it was essentially a one-goal game. Reagan Kirk got the start, and Mercyhurst, they go up early. 2 5-on-5 goals in the opening couple minutes there in the opening period, 2-0 early. But then J.C. Gebhard scores to cut the lead. And then the second period, the team's trade goals. Michaela Boyle with her RMU goal, 3-2 Mercyhurst. Entering the third period, though, a shorthanded goal by Michelle Robillard, 4-2 Mercyhurst. So that's really possibly the turning point of the game or the
yeah. – Yeah, Templeman scored, I was watching on Twitter, to make it, you know, with 2 minutes left, extra tactor to make it interesting, but empty netter by Mercyhurst, and RMU loses that one 5-3, and Mercyhurst takes their first outright lead for quite some time.
Yeah, unless there was, like, something very early on in the season where Mercyhurst was up in the standings, but that's, like, their first lead in the CHA standings for a long while, a 2-point advantage, but obviously another game at hand here. The Colonials looking to get back in this one. Reagan Kirk at the start in game two, but again, Mercyhurst, they score early. They go up 3-0 in the first period. So something was definitely said in the locker room because the final score in this one was a 5-5 tie. Really curious to know what was said in the locker room. Got to have the leadership and the veterans and the upperclassmen. One of these upperclassmen, Natalie Marcuzzi, was very big in this one. She had two goals.
Great game. I know, obviously, the outcome wasn't what they wanted, but two goals was big for them.
The depth scoring really picked it up in the second period. Angelica Diffendahl and, as you mentioned, Natalie Marcuzzi, they scored within a couple minutes of each other to make it 3-2. Mercyhurst gets a power play, though, and scores to make it 4-2. But then And then in the late second period, this is a big goal here, Alexi Templeman again in the late moments of a period, cutting the lead down to one, and it was 3-2. And then Mercyhurst scores early into the third, 5-3, but Michaela Boyle adds on the power play, and Marcuzzi gets her second goal to tie it up 5-on-5. However, this is not men's hockey where 5-on-5 or where overtime does not go
To 3-on-3.
To 3-on-3 and then 5-on-5.
It's just one 5-on-5.
Yeah, and no goals were scored in that frame. So a point for each team here, and that point is big for Mercyhurst, considering if Robert Morris would have won, they would have stayed tied in the CHA standings. However, they did not, and Mercyhurst is ahead in the CHA standings this week by 1 point. So bit of an unfortunate weekend for the Colonials. We've been seeing a lot of this, not just with RMU, but with the CHA in general. A lot of upsets, a lot of close games, a lot of stealing point type of games.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure RIT swept Syracuse last week.
RIT swept Penn State last week.
It was a sweep.
And then they like, for instance, some games that just come off the top of my head. RIT beat us.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago. Lindenwood beat Mercyhurst a couple weeks ago. Penn State lost to RIT, and then Syracuse tied RIT. So like, there's a lot of unpredictability going on in the CHA, and that's something every team has to kind of get used to as we enter the stretch run now, as we're in the midst of the stretch run here. Every team fighting for points, and Robert Morris fighting to keep the lead in points.
Yeah, and they're now tied with Syracuse.
Yes.
So it's really, depending on these last couple of weeks, it's anyone's game.
Yeah. Taking a look at the standings, Mercyhurst overall ahead, 23 conference points. Robert Morris and Syracuse tied for second, as you mentioned. 22 points for Syracuse and RMU. Penn State still could, you never know with them, they could make a push. Not for the top seed, obviously, but in the playoffs, they got 14 points. RIT, 9 points. Lindenwood, 6 points. And really, those bottom teams there have been making some upsets, stealing some points, playing the underdogs.
They're just playing spoiler. Yeah, they want to play spoiler.
As we saw, like Lindenwood and RIT. And as we mentioned, we have RIT this weekend. RIT's 11-16-3 overall, 4-11, and 1 in the CHA. They just swept Penn State and tied Syracuse. The last time we met them, though, we lost in game 1, 2-1, but we were able to win game 2, 6-4.
And obviously, RIT, two players of the week, Hunter Barnett, forward, 6 points in the sweep, the first two goals of the game, and assisted on the other two goals on Friday, and then had two goals, including the game winner on Saturday. And then goalie of the week, Tara Latang. I have no clue.
Possibly.
33 saves in the Saturday game. 13th 30-plus save on the season.
Yeah. Definitely will be an interesting one. These games will be at home. I will not be there. But will you be there?
I might try to. It is siblings weekend, so.
Ah, yes. So, yeah, if you're on campus with your siblings, good hockey on the island this weekend. Yeah. The men aren't home this weekend, are they?
Home and home against Canisius. Okay. But it's also a big weekend up in Erie.
Okay.
Mercyhurst plays Syracuse.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be a huge game. Syracuse could potentially be first in the CHA.
I think they could, but
so
I think
usually, like, we've been focusing about how it's Mercyhurst versus Robert Morris for the top seed. There's another
Syracuse has been sneaky. They've
a new challenger has approached. Yeah, Syracuse 22 points, tied for second right now. And then of course we all know what they did last year to Robert Morris in the playoffs. So they're definitely a team that's worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, Syracuse. Let me just pull up what they've done over the. I know they've won two in a row.
Well, while you do that, let me just mention this weekend on the island will be Celebrate Youth Day Saturday. So what essentially that means is also be Senior Weekend, which will be huge. Mark Husey, LeCavalier, and, of course, J.C. Gebhardt. They're essentially for Youth Day, it'll be just discounted tickets for both of the women's games and the men's games. Tickets will be $5, and then Saturday is also Scout Day, Boys and Girl Scouts of America will be there and encouraged to attend. So, a couple events here on the island this weekend.
So Syracuse has gone 6 games without losing.
Okay.
5 wins, 1 tie.
When was their last loss?
January 24th against Penn State.
Yeah. See, again, another spoiler type game there. Penn State, who have they beaten?
They beat RPI, which doesn't matter for the CHA.
Mm-hmm.
They won and tied against RIT, They won a game against Penn State, and then they absolutely crushed Lindenwood this past weekend, 3-2, and then 8-0.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Lindenwood's weird.
They are.
They're a weird team. No disrespect, though, to Lindenwood.
And obviously no teams in the top 20 or top 10 for NCAA.
Yeah, NCAA, USCHO weekend or rankings this week, your top three. Cornell, Wisconsin, well, tied for third as Minnesota Northeastern. No CHA teams making
no, that's not top 10 or not really runs. Surprising. I mean,
yeah.
you see, it sort of cannibalized them themselves, really. Yeah. But those top two teams, or those top three teams, RMU has played.
Yes, and hopefully they'll get to play them in the NCAA tournament when they hopefully knock on wood and make it there. Big important matchups this weekend, especially we'll be keeping an eye on what's going on in Erie with Mercyhurst and Syracuse. So that is what's going on this weekend for the Colonials. No CHA awards or the honors weekly type like things. So we'll move on to the main topic of the day that I want to talk about. And really, this is something I honestly have been wanting to do for a long time, is talk about the women's ice, just the state of women's ice hockey in general. Yeah.
I know we've been asking, you know, we asked Michaela Boyle, we asked JC about it, yeah. But we didn't really dive deep into it because there were more pressing matters to get to.
That's what I want to do today and over these next couple of weeks. Women's hockey, women have been playing the sport of hockey since it has been around, it being hockey.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of controversy going on recently between the women's ice hockey strike over the CWHL and the NWHL. The CWHL, of course, recently
folding
and closing their doors.
And the NWHL has, I mean, it's been on rocky soil as well, yeah, as of late.
And this is important for Robert Morris Athletics because, I mean, we just saw Maggie Legault was drafted into the NWHL. And for these future athletes to continue to play the game, hopefully with this strike there will be a league that is stable, hopefully through the NHL, which we'll touch on in a sec. And I just feel like it's a relevant topic to discuss, given the fact that we have a lot of talented players here at Robert Morris and in just the NCAA in general, that hopefully
they'll be able to continue their careers post college, obviously.
And like we asked JC, she was like, "I'm not even sure what I want to do." She said she might have to play over in Europe if she really wanted to. So.
But I don't even think there's many leagues over in Europe. I don't.
So, overall, just a quick history lesson on what has happened recently with women's hockey, the state of women's hockey. Overall, like, in the past, say, decade, there was two major leagues for women's hockey. They were separate, though, which was kind of an issue, which we'll get to later. The CWHL, which stands for the Canadians Women's Hockey League, and the NWHL, the National Women's Hockey League. The Canadian Women's Hockey League, obviously, primarily focused in Canada.
It was until 2 years ago, yeah, I believe.
And then the NWHL mostly focused in American teams. So starting with the CWHL, it was established earlier than the NWHL. And the NWHL established in 2015. CWHL established in 2007. They had six teams at the time of their disassembly. They've had a lot of teams come in and out through the league overall. The Calgary Inferno, the Markham Thunder, the Toronto Furies, the Worcester Blades, the Canadiens de Montreal is what it's officially called, but they used to be called the Montreal Stars. And what's interesting is they actually had a team overseas with the Shenzhen KRS Vanc Rays, which actually was located in China. So
yes, and before that, just you mentioned the other teams, so yeah. I just want to go over them. The Vaughan Flames, you had the Boston Blades, who moved to Worcester. However you pronounce it. The Phoenix de Quebec. You had the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
Creative name. Yep. Same exact logo. I'm really just. The Mississauga Chiefs and the Burlington Barracudas.
Okay, so we're seeing some American cities, but mostly Canadian cities. And originally, this league, it was pretty successful in their early couple years, which is something that's been talked about. Say the NHL and the Women's Hockey Association makes a league, is that spark going to continue? Like, because we saw it with the WNBA as well. Like, I'm concerned, say the NHL, like, they do make a league, will that hype continue? Because Sportsnet did stream the games for the CWHL and in the Clarkson Cup, over 170,000 people would watch, so that's good attendance, good audience for that. But things started to fall down for the CWHL. In the 2017-18 season, they made an expansion, as we mentioned, to China, where they teamed up with a team or with an owner from the KHL, which is the Continental Hockey League. That's where Pavel Datsyuk and
Kovalchuk used to play.
Yeah, former NHLers used to play. So what they did with that, which is, it's weird, because when I was researching this, it was weird to see a team from China in a women's hockey league. So their partnership the main reason for the partnership was to keep things like afloat financially, because they teamed up with this KHL team, and then in terms of travel, they only did 2 trips per year. So like the Chinese team would come to America once, and then every team would go over just once, and then they would play a series of games there. So kind of interesting, but also didn't really work out in the end, as essentially financial losses and a lack of interest caused the CWHL to start disassembling. And then the players, which is essentially what this entire argument stems down to, is the players and their salaries and their rights as players. These players, they're playing hockey for a living, and
they're not getting paid like it.
They're, well, yeah.
You know, minimum salary of $2,000. That's
per year. This is for a full season. Hockey is one of the longest sport seasons. And then their maximum salary was around $10,000. Each team had a salary cap of around $10,000 or $100,000,
which is more than the minimum NHL player.
Yeah, minimum. What is it? $700?
$750, I believe. $750 is the minimum.
Minimum salary for like an AHL player in the National Hockey League.
Yes.
For one player, this is a team.
I'm pretty sure ECHL is like, yeah. So minimum salary. All right. So minimum salary for ECHL is $470 a week.
Okay.
So
what does that round out to? 470 times 52. Before taxes.
Yeah. 22,000.
That's a lot more than 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's been a lot of outcry for this, and really what people have started to think is that it's the league's fault, which it is, but it also isn't, because it's more of like it's not like they're not trying. They're trying to get sponsorships, they're trying to get interests, and they're trying to generate as much revenue as they can. And when these players come out and strike, they're striking against the league. So everyone's pointing fingers at these leagues, the CWHL, the NWHL, and thinking they're the bad guys in this. They're really not. They're just trying to do whatever they can to try and generate enough interest and revenue for these teams and these players. But possibly what I think is the worst thing for these players is the fact that they didn't have health insurance.
Yeah, that's a big thing, because, you know, obviously, I mean, women's hockey, I don't think the rules changed. I'm assuming there's still no hitting.
Yeah.
But still, you get a puck wrong and you break your leg,
it's coming out of your pocket.
And you're not getting paid.
And you're making $2,000 a year on average. Or I guess it would be like $5,000 average between the gaps is 2 and 10, so... but anyways, still nonetheless, it's out of pocket for a lot of these players. And for the players that have stuck through it between the strike, it really just shows how determined these players are to play the game. And if you're making $2,000 a year, don't have health insurance, and it's taking up a lot of your time, and say you have a family and I just commend those athletes that are still sticking with it. So that's really the CWHL. They officially closed their doors on May 1st, 2019, which is a day later is when the women's hockey strike and protest came out saying that they're striking for money, health insurance, league popularity, and things like that. But the NWHL is still going today. Yes,
it is established in 2015, currently 5 teams. Actually, second iteration of the NWHL.
Yes, there was a other NWHL.
From 99 to 07. Stood
for the same exact thing, the National Women's Hockey League, but it has no affiliation.
I didn't even know the original one existed.
Neither did I.
But you had a couple partnerships. You had the Boston Pride partnering with the Bruins, Minnesota Whitecaps partnered with the Wild. The Buffalo Buttes were owned by the same people that owned the Sabres until recently. So in Whitecaps Wild, obviously I mentioned that, but it started without the Whitecaps. Only the, four
your other
teams.
Two teams, the Metropolitan Riveteers and then the Connecticut Whale, who Maggie Legault was drafted to.
Yes. Obviously trying to harken back to the, Hartford Whalers.
Yeah.
And then Metropolitan Riveters, their logo is, you know, Rosie the Riveter, World War II, you know, we can work or whatever the saying is on that.
Yeah. So the NWHL is a little bit more interesting in terms of like how it started, because the CWHL was started in 2007. That was a while back, and they just closed operations in 2019. So they had a bit of a run there, but the NWHL was established in 2015. So it's very new in terms of a professional hockey league. So I want to go season by season over some important things that happened. The 2015-16 season obviously was the first year. The Minnesota Whitecaps were not an original team. There was only four original teams, and they all competed for the Isabel Cup, which is apparently Lord Stanley's relative or something like that. Lord Stanley obviously being the person who the Stanley Cup was named after.
So named after Lady Isabel Gaythorne Hardy, one of the first known women to play the game, and daughter of Lord Stanley.
Daughter of Lord Stanley. Okay, makes sense. They had an inaugural draft, essentially an expansion draft for every single player team. Then they had, and they really had everything that the NHL has. They had a draft. They had an entry-level draft. They had training camps. They had their own all-star game. Playoffs, obviously. They had award ceremonies, free agency. They only had one trade, but they still had the ability to make trades. So the framework was there for a successful league. And then the Boston Pride won the Isabel Cup in the first year. Second year. The season was shortened, but not for anything terrible. It was for the Olympics.
Which, I mean, made sense.
Yeah, because that's where...
Really, what these... I think they want to play professionally, but it's a tremendous honor to represent your country.
And they got a little bit more in terms of, like...
Exposure.
Well, yeah, and also in terms of, like, better equipment, better, you know, things like that. There was an outdoor game, so the first ever women's outdoor game in the NWHL was here in Pittsburgh. I did not remember that. See, it's some of the fans' fault too for not paying attention to these things.
Let's see, I'm looking here at Women's Outdoor Classic. This was played in 2016 between between Les Canadiens de Montréal of the CWHL and the Boston Pride.
Yes. The Boston Pride ended up winning the cup that year. The Buffalo Buttes won the cup that year. So the Buffalo is winning a cup finally.
It's about time.
17-18 season, there was a summit series, which was essentially just an exhibition type series against Russian teams that saw them compete overseas, which is something the NHL does as well. The Metropolitan Riveteers, they also partnered with the New Jersey Devils. I don't think that's still going as of right now. And then they also won the Isabel Cup, the Riveteers did. And then this current season, last season, the Minnesota Whitecaps entered the league, and then the protests started to happen. The Whitecaps actually won the cup in their first year, but this leads us to this year and last year's women's hockey protest, the For the Game movement, if you will. This happened just about over a year ago, May of 2019. More than 200 women's players, they started the protest, the For the Game hashtag. And what they want is essentially a league that is stable, that makes money, so that they can make money and just focus on hockey and not all the financials. They want health insurance. They want to be able to
make sure they have a chance to live playing the game they love.
Exactly. And it really sucks for them. And we mentioned how terrible it was. Like, if you break a stick, you're going to have to pay for that. If you break your leg, that's out of pocket. They don't have health insurance. They don't have the greatest medical staffs in the world. They don't have the greatest equipment staff in the world. But hopefully with enough interest and revenue, we can get a league going. Hopefully partnered with the NHL, because just last month, the NHLPA, which is the NHL Players Association, and it's important to notice or to note that the NHLPA, which is the NHL Players Association,
is the not players. The NHL.
It's not the NHL. That's not Gary Bettman, but it's the Players Association. The players, like, that's why in the NHL awards, there's a most valuable player voted on by the NHL, which is the Hart Trophy. Mm-hmm. And there's the Ted Lindsay Award, which is the most valuable player voted on by the NHLPA. They're two separate parties.
Yes, and currently the leader of it is the same guy, the former MLBPA executive director. So, lockouts are between the NHL and the NHLPA.
Yeah.
That's not just the NHL being, oh, we're going to lock out. That's a disagreement between the two.
Two separate parties. And then established during the strike was the HPA, the Professional Women's Hockey Players Association, which is essentially the same thing. It's the players and their organization. So in January of this year, the NHLPA and the PWHPA, they partnered up. That's a good sign to move forward, but people need to realize it's not the NHL stepping in just yet. Hopefully they will, as it's just the right step for them moving forward.
Yeah, I think so, and I think obviously there's been some more women's hockey in the spotlight. Obviously, the All-Star Game had a 3-on-3 featuring a former Colonial, Kirsten Welsh, as a ref. And I was trying to look up the ratings for that, but I didn't see any. But I know I watched it.
Oh yeah, I the viewing ratings. Yeah, I watched it as well. The women's 3-on-3. That was actually their first time ever playing 3-on-3. Because they don't have it in their game. So definitely interesting to watch, and it's a great spotlight for these players and what they can do, and the fact that they're players as well, and we should be paying attention to them. So for the NHL to step in, it really is just a matter of time, hopefully. It would be great PR for them, and great. It would be a tax write-off for money. They have the money, they have the resources to do it. And I remember hearing at like the All-Star game, a bunch of the women's players were like happy the fact that like they didn't have to worry about breaking a stick or losing an edge and like with your skate falling apart, because the NHL has those resources
to pay for it.
Exactly.
I think in Nashville last year, there was something. They had a women's All-Star game, but it wasn't at Bridgestone, I'm pretty sure.
I think it was at Bridgestone.
Oh, because I know they were practicing at Ford. Like, their practice, basically, like, UPMC.
That would have been the NWHL's All-Star game.
Yes.
Because they've had an All-Star game every year in their existence. With the outdoor one in Pittsburgh. So, the NWHL... they were going strong somewhat strong in terms of the base framework of like a league, but the revenue wasn't there, the fan interest wasn't there, and as a result the players striked with the before the game movement, and that leaves us to this year in the NWHL. It's still going on. The NWHL did not close its doors or anything like that. But over 200 of the top athletes are not playing, including
Schofield. That's basically like, you know, having the NHL with AHLers.
Exactly. But it's still a good opportunity for these young women to that didn't get the opportunity with like
to go
the
play.
Top players. It's kind of like the reminds me of like what the Olympics was.
Yes.
With no NHL players being allowed into that.
Which is something that is its own completely different story.
Yeah, it's somewhat familiar, yeah. So that's currently the state of the NWHL. If the NHL were to step in, they could partner with the NWHL.
Yes, and maybe
and just
bring
partner
back
teams with
local
NHL teams.
Yeah, or you know, just fund maybe not partnering but funding. I guess that would just be a partnership, but
because the funding through the teams, from my understanding, is that they can be distributed through the NHL through their teams, like the Boston Buttes or the Buffalo Buttes and the like the Sabres. So if we have a league with say 6 to 10 women's hockey teams, they would likely be in NHL cities.
Yes, I don't really see the point of. I mean, the only city I could see maybe no team is Quebec.
Yeah.
Or the Connecticut Whale, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But both those, you know, Connecticut Whale can easily go up with, I don't know, put
Islanders.
Them with, yeah, Islanders. If you have a team in Quebec, put them with Montreal.
Yeah.
Unless Montreal gets a team, obviously.
Well, they could be partnered with two teams. It's not like a AHL affiliate here. And
no.
But as in terms of cities, what are some cities you think that could potentially be teams?
I think obviously you have a good framework already with Boston, Buffalo, Connecticut, and Minnesota.
Yeah.
But these, you know, the original six cities
of the NHL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are teams: Toronto. Look at Montreal, Chicago, even Detroit. I think those teams would.
I think your locks are Boston, Montreal, and Toronto. Maybe two teams in Toronto, because that's the hockey capital of the world. Maybe have one in Hamilton for two teams in Toronto. And I also think you keep Minnesota. I think that's a good market you have, despite the fact that the Wild aren't that good. And I think you have to have New York as well.
Yeah, New York's just such a big market that it's kind of, I think, you know, stupid not to have a team there. But I think, obviously, I'm from there, but Buffalo.
Yeah.
I know I've mentioned that.
It makes sense.
They've done relatively well. They've gone to the finals the first, I think, four every year so far.
The Buffalo Buttes?
I think so.
Yeah. I think Pittsburgh would just be a great hockey market. I think, I mean, I would personally go to these games and would love to see a women's hockey league come to Pittsburgh. Also, as we mentioned, Detroit, Chicago, Quebec, Buffalo. So no shortage of possibilities for cities that this league could potentially expand to or be started into. I really hope the NHL partners with the NWHL because the framework's already there, and I don't see the point in restarting over everything when you already have women that are committed to play in the NWHL.
And I can think of it won't necessarily grow it, but I can think of a easy, cheap way to, you know, help put them in the new NHL game.
What do you, like EA Sports?
Yeah.
That'd be a great
idea.
I
mean, you already have the women's player model.
And that gets them money, too.
Yeah, that like was, yeah.
Players' rights. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I know. And don't make it like, I know in FIFA, they have it so women's teams can only play against women's teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't do that.
That'd be fun.
Make it so, you know, if you want, you can put the Bruins against the Boston Pride.
That'd be fun. Yeah, I would absolutely love to see that. That's a cool idea. EA Sports, if you're listening, get on that.
And it would put JC Gebhardt in shell.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you not want her? Be a pro career. Do they still have that? Be a pro?
Yeah, it's okay. Terrible now, but
it is.
Yep.
GM connected as for the RMU women's hockey team.
Yeah.
Anyways, but overall, just our thoughts here as we wrap things up. I just think it needs to get done. It's a matter of time before it gets done. And the reason I wanted to do this just around now is the fact that it's been
almost a year.
Almost a year. And that means these players have not played for almost a year. They did have a Dream Gap tour, which was essentially just like an exhibition scrimmage that they did, which just goes to show you how desperate these players are for hockey. They're risking injury to play than that. They're risking like equipment failures and out-of-pocket money, but they still care about the game just as much as the men do.
And don't stop trying to. They're different games. Yeah. They're not the. They're both hockey, but they're different games of hockey.
Yeah, that's really what people need to stop like saying is yes, the women's game is slower, but if I go to a hockey game and say, oh, I went to a women's hockey game last night, and someone says, oh, good for you. Why do you have to say it? It's just the same as like women's basketball. It's the same sport, but just with a different gender.
In this case, with Robert Morris, at least,
yeah,
you could even say they're better.
Well, I would say that.
I mean, obviously, but you could say that.
And it's not like a terms of who's better on the ice. Like the men are obviously very
skilled
and more agile and stronger. And it's just how it is. That's just how biology works. But stop, like for the people that want to be a part in this women's hockey movement, just don't push it too far. These are athletes as well. They're just playing the game that they love. It's just a different speed and there's no hitting. Yeah. And maybe there will be hitting. Who knows? The fact that one of the main reasons they don't have hitting is because they don't have health insurance.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. It's definitely something I wanted to mention. I'll be going down to the island today to get some of the women's hockey players' thoughts on this, and I'll write a piece on this eventually. But this is definitely a topic that is affecting not only
college, but obviously professional. It's even, you know, if you get the professional league started, little girls are going to see these players.
Exactly.
They're going to look up to your Kendall Coyne Sheffields, your Amanda Kessels, your J.C. Gebhards, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, hopefully.
And look at them and be, I want to be like them.
Yeah. There was, who tweeted? It was one of the insiders. Darren Dreger tweeted. It was like, let me try and find it real quick. Darren Dreger tweeted, or Pierre LeBrun tweeted, I recorded the women's 3-on-3 game from last night to show my two hockey-playing girls today. Their reaction was unreal. Seeing is believing. We need a WNHL. Let's make it happen. And I agree.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Imagine like, 5 years where there's, like, a Pittsburgh women's hockey team, and, like, J.C. Gebhard plays with Amanda Kessel or something. That'd just be, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be so awesome to see. And for people, like, looking to get into hockey, this is a great way to do it as well, because it's kind of like a junior-type league in terms of, like, the tickets will obviously not be as much as NHL games, and you can just go see a game and have fun.
So I just found this tweet from the college, University of Wisconsin women's hockey team.
Yeah.
I can't tell who they were playing, but they had a game that had 14,361 fans.
Yeah. The fans are there. It's just the fan interest needs to be there. Like, I think most of the people, as I mentioned, like, a couple minutes ago, is, like, most of the people there were probably like, oh, this is a good, I'm going to support a cause. Why not just go watch hockey?
Which, like, I would like to point
it's
out,
more, yeah,
that attendance, that 14,000, whatever, 14,361, is more than the average of Florida,
yep,
the Islanders, yep, and Ottawa.
Yeah. That's sad. But that's more of a, yeah, their problem. Eugene Melnick. Yeah. The fan interest there, and it just needs to be sustained. Hopefully things will continue here, and hopefully we'll get some news in the next couple of months of the NHL stepping in here. And I really think that's what's going to happen. The NHL needs to step in. We need to create a WNHL, merge it with the NWHL, 6 to 10 teams, And then
to start, you know, years. Don't expand too and, quickly, obviously. Yeah.
And the NHL, I mean, yes, it was over 100 years ago, but the NHL had its hardships getting together too. There were some leagues that were possibly going to surpass the NHL.
Yeah, even, and, you know, talented. Later in the league.
Yeah.
Like the WHL in, what, the 60s and 70s?
Yeah.
That was, you know, 50 years into the league's existence that competitive leagues were coming in, battling, I'd say, pretty hard. You had that with, you know, leagues like the NFL, you had the USFL, the AFL.
You have the XFL right now.
XFL, AAF tried to, but absolutely failed.
Yeah, and it's nothing too crazy to start a league and have it succeed, but it's also not crazy to think that, or it's also crazy to think that you're going to be successful right from the get-go. This league was started in 2015, so that's 5 years, and they've already done a lot of things. The NWHL is what I'm talking about. They've already done a lot of things overall, and hopefully they can continue, and hopefully the NHL will step in. So that's really the gist of it, what has happened over the past few years with women's hockey. And as I mentioned, I'll write a piece on this, and we'll get you updated. RIT.
RIT this weekend.
RIT this weekend. Mercy
come down
Hurst
and support.
Versus, Mercyhurst versus Penn, or excuse me, Mercyhurst versus Syracuse up in Erie this weekend, so.
Cheer for ties, I guess. I mean, that'd likely be the best thing for the Colonials if they both tied RMU
sweeps. We'll see what happens.
And
then Syracuse next weekend, and then CHA. We'll try and get there.
Yeah.
But thank you all for tuning in.
I've been John Hanna.
Yeah, I've been Owen Krebs. Let's make a National Women's League.